Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Pei Dalad. We're at the bottom or the Mishnah of Pei Gimel Amud Bet. Okay, Mishnah. Minayin lesvina shehi tahora. So how do you know that a boat is tahor, not even susceptible to tuma? Shneimar derech onia b'lev yam. Right. So because the pasuk says that the way of the boat is in the heart of the water, and we're going to see exactly how that teaches us that the boat does not convey tuma. Pshita oni abalev yam hi hakamash melan kiyam mayam tower of svina tehora. Meaning the Gemara first asks the Mishnah, well, obviously a boat goes in the water. You don't need a pasuk to teach me that a boat goes in the water. Rather, what was the pasuk telling you? That a boat is like the water itself, just like the water can't become tame, so too the boat can't become tame. Ntanya, so we have a dissenting opinion in terms of how we understand, how we arrive at the conclusion that a boat is not metame, that a boat does not contract tuma. Chananya Omer, Nilmad Mesak. We learn out the law that a boat does not contract tuma from a sack. Ma sak metalte malevarekan. Av kol metalte malevarekan. Right? Just like there's an opinion of, right, that exists by sak. Right, a sack is something that can be carried. Whether it's something that is generally carried, whether it is empty or whether it is full. And so too, all things that can become tame that are similar to a sack must be carried when they are full or when they are empty. Right, to exclude a boat which is not carried when it's both empty and full. Right, and so a boat, you know. A boat can really only be carried while it's empty, right? But a boat cannot be carried while it's full, right? In which case, it doesn't match up to this binyan av, to these criteria that were set out by a sak, right? A sak sets a standard. It's called a binyan av, right? Where we have something that sets a standard for how the halacha works, and then we say, okay, everything comparable to this thing, the halacha is going to work in a similar manner. A sak, anything comparable to a sak, just like the sak is carried, full or empty, so to anything similar to a sack, which is carried full or empty, is going to be metame, but a ship is not carried full or empty. A ship cannot be carried when it's full, and therefore, it cannot, so we know, so that's how Hanani knows, that it's not going to convey tuma. My benayu, okay, what's the nafkamina between whether you learn it like Hanani or you learn it like the Rabbanan? Ik benayu, svina shalcheres. Well, there's a difference between them when it comes to an earthenware ship, a ship made out of cheres. Mandam aronia belevia, hanami belevia. The one who says that you learn it out from the ship is like the ocean in the way it doesn't convey tuma. So this is also like this is also a ship and it's also like the ocean. It's not going to contract tuma. Lamanda amar kisak harichtiv gabe sak dimed al teled maleverikon in ilo lo. Right. So, however, when it comes to the sock, we only use this binyan av. We only can learn out that things like the sock are going to be metame if they're carried both empty and full, like a sock, or the things that are similar to a sock. Now, a sock was listed in a pasuk, or a sock, sorry, was listed in the Mishnah with other materials. Right. Those materials were cloth and leather. In which case, only cloth and leather fit into that criteria, but earthenware vessels don't even fit into this criteria. We said you can only learn the binyan av the things that are similar to the sock. The sock has certain materials that are comparable to it, certain materials that are not comparable to it, right? Because the earthenware vessels are not comparable to it, you can't apply this whole concept, this whole rule that we taught by a sock, you just can't apply to an earthenware vessel anymore. So now Hananya does not have a proof to say that a ship made out of earthenware would not contract tuma because it doesn't conform to this binyan av that we created by sock. Alternatively, there's another machloket when it comes to a boat in the Yarden, right? In the Jordan River. Lamad amar oni abalev yamhi, hanami oni abalev yamhi. Right, those who say that we learn it out from a boat in the heart of the sea, right? This also is like a boat in the heart of the sea because it's a certain type of ship in a place that is appropriate to it. Meaning, it's not in the heart of the sea; it's the Jordan River. But anything a ship, just like a ship, a ship travels in the sea. So too, anything that's going to travel in the Jordan River that normally travels in the Jordan River, we're going to apply the same din to. But according to the one who says that we learn it out, or Hananya, right? That we learn it out from sack that is carried when it's full or when it's empty, ha nami tatel maleverekan, right? Right? This is also carried Malavarekan de Amar Bichanina ben Akavia Bipne Ma Amru Svinat the Yardin Timea Bipne Shatoni no Tabiabash Talamaim. Right? So the ship on the water is carried Malavarekan. A ship on the that goes in the Jordan is carried when it's full. Because Rav Chanani ben Akavia said that Rav Chanani ben Akavia came and asked, why is it that a ship that goes on the Jordan River, a boat that goes in the Jordan River, would contract Tuma? It's because it is loaded up when it's still on the dock, right, and then lowered down into the river, right? So because the boat that goes on the Jordan is filled up outside of the Jordan River, that means it's lifted up and put into the Jordan River once it's already full. In which case, this boat is carried when it's full and when it's empty, and now it does conform to the binyan of Sakin, which means that it can be mekabel tuma. So if we're talking about the Jordan River, then it can be mekabel tuma because it's carried when it's full and when it's empty, like a sock, and therefore it can be mekabel tuma. So according to Rabbi Chananya, we have to conclude that it is very, very different than a sea that would be in the ocean, which would not be carried when it's full and it's empty. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav, Adam Adatzmo, Beit HaMidrash, Afilu Sha'achad. Side point, a person should never stop himself from going to the Beit HaMidrash, even for a single moment. Why? How do we learn that from here? Sha'arei kama shanim nishnit v'mishna zo b'Beit HaMidrash, v'lo nitgalatama adjeba Rabbi Chananya v'nekavi operisha. Because how many times do we teach that Mishnah in the Beit HaMidrash that the nafkamina between Rabbanan and Chananya was just this point, that a boat that goes in the Jordan River, according to Chananya, is going to be mekabel tuma, and according to the Rabbanan, it's not going to be mekabel tuma, until Chananya ben Akavia came in and explained that it's because a boat that goes in the Jordan River is filled outside up the Jordan, in which case it's carried when it's full and when it's empty, and it's going to be mekabel tuma like the sock is mekabel tuma. But if you missed that day in the Beit Midrash, you wouldn't have known. We could have learned this Mishnah for years; you never would have known. Chananya ben Akavia came, and everyone was so happy. That's, I know, you should really never miss Seder. Amar Rabbi Yochanan le'olam ayinu avdam etatzmo Beit HaMidrash b'divrei Torah afilu sha'achad afilu b'shat mita. So then Rabbi Yochanan says something similar. He says, you know, you should really not stop yourself from going to the Beit Midrash or even learning Torah at all. And even at the time of your at the time that you die, shne'emar zot Torah adam kimud ba'ol, as it says that this is the Torah, a person who will die in a tent, afilu b'shat mita tehe osuk b'Torah. Right, and so we can kind of interpret from there that even the time of your death, you should really be engaged in Torah, in divrei Torah mitkaimin el mishememit atzmo aleha. Right, Rabbi Lakish, however, uses that pasuk of Zarat Adam Kiyemut Ba'Oel not to teach you that you should be engaged in Torah at the time of your death, but to tell you that this is the Torah, that if you want to learn Torah properly, you have to kill yourself over it. It's not going to come conveniently. It's not going to come lightly. It's not going to come easily. You really, really want Torah to be mitkayim. You really want to be holding in Torah. It's not going to come easily. You have to kill yourself over it. Zarat Adam Kiyemut Ba'Oel. And we learn that from Shneimar Zarat Adam Kiyemut Ba'Oel. Right? And that's what we learn from this is the Torah, a person who will die in a tent. Right? Amar Rava. Now Rava is going to elaborate a little bit more on the sheet that we just mentioned. The sheet of Chananya. Ulechananya tilto aydei shvarim shmei tilto. By the way, if something can be carried full or empty, but can only be carried full when it's being pulled by oxen, that's still considered something that can be carried when it's full or empty. Ditnan, how do we know that? Well, I learned in the Mishnah shalosh agalot hen asur ke kad. Tidra, Tamei Midras. Right, there are three types of wagons. One that is made like a chair, like made for sitting, but being pulled in a wagon. That's going to be Tamei Midras. If someone walks upon it, it's going to be it's going to contract tuma. Kamita tamei tamei bed, and so a wagon that was made like a bed for lying down, and that's going to contract tumat mate, and also any other tuma that's conveyed through simply by touching through tumat maga. Shilavanim tahore mikulam. Right, but if it's made to carry stones, then that's going to be tahor always from Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yochanan disagrees slightly. Imish babet kibul rimonim tamei tamei mate. Right. Even this wagon that carries stones. If it has a receptacle that can carry pomegranates, what does it mean they can carry pomegranates? That means that the receptacle does not have a hole that is large enough to let pomegranates out. Then that also, this wagon that carries stones, it's also going to contract tuma from a mate and anything that can come in contact with it, anything that conveys tuma through maga, right? We still do not know why exactly this is a proof for that Chananya considers something that can be carried by oxen to be something that can be carried such that it would meet the criteria of sak tuma. Shalosh tevot hen, but here we're going to go on, and then we're going to explain it. Right, there are also three types of boxes. Teva shibit chametzira tamei midras. Right, a box that opens from the side is going to be tamei tuma midras when it's stepped upon. Milamala tamei mei. But if a box opens from the top, then it's tamei susceptible to tuma by a mate, by a dead body, or anything that else that would be tamei through coming in direct contact. Vababa midat Torah mikulam. Right. However, If it's a massive box, then you know it's hardly considered a vessel anymore, and it's not going to contract tuma at all, right? So now the reason this is a proof is as follows, right? It's interesting that in the first Mishnah in the first Braita that taught us about wagons, right, it didn't tell us that there is something so big that does not contract tuma, right? And in the second Braita about boxes, it did tell us there's a box so big that it doesn't contract tuma. Why didn't you tell me by a wagon that there's a wagon so big that it doesn't contract tuma? Right? Well, because the biggest wagon we have, the wagon that used to carry rocks, it must be to tell you that that wagon used to carry rocks can contract tuma. If it couldn't contract tuma, it would have said so, like we said it by the boxes that they're so big they can't contract tuma. So it must be that a wagon the size that can carry rocks can contract tuma, even though a wagon like that is carried by oxen. So that tells you that it's a support from this Braita that a wagon that's so big it can only be carried by oxen is still going to contract tuma, right? Because if it couldn't contract tuma, the Braita would have told us that it couldn't contract tuma, just like the Braita told us by the box that was too big that it couldn't contract tuma. Tanur Rabanan, Midras Kli Cheres Tahor. Right? Someone tramples upon a kli cheres, it's still going to become tahor. Rabbi Yossi Omer af hasfina, and Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, even a ship would not become tameh through tumat midras. A kli cheres does not become tameh through tumat midras, and Rabbi Yossi says even a ship does not become tameh through tumat midras. My kamar, what exactly is Rabbi Yossi trying to suggest here? Right, obviously, if it can't become tameh at all, then it's not going to become tameh tumat midras. Sorry, no, it's like this. We just said that boats can't become tameh, right? Boats do not become tameh, right? So what's Rabbi Yossi hoping to add to the Tanakhama when he says, oh, you know what? Even boats don't become tameh. We know boats don't become tameh from tumat midras. They don't become tameh at all. Boats belev yam don't become tameh. What's he being mechadish here? Amar Rav Zavid, hachikamar. Right? So Rav Zavid says, this is what Rabbi Yossi is trying to tell you. Midras klicheres tahor. Umago tameh svina shalcheres temea. Right? He's trying to say as follows, right? The midras kli cheres is tahor, right? So kli cheres has stepped upon his tameh. However, if you make contact with it, then it's gonna contract tuma. However, svina shel cheres tameya, the boat made of kli cheres, it can contract tuma. Kichananya, like the Shita of Chananya, who believes that there are some cases, who believes that an earthenware boat can contract tuma, because we said that was one of the nafkamidas between Chananya and Rabbanan. When it comes to earthenware, Rabbanan would still say that it is not contract tuma, but Chananya said it does contract tuma. So that's what the Mishnah was talking about. That's what the Mishnah was talking about, right? The Tanakhama said that Midras Klicheres is Tahor, that Klicheres is not going to become tame, through Midras. However, if you touch it, it will become tame. And then we said the Sfina of Cheres is tame, like Chananya's Shita, who holds that a boat made out of earthenware can become tameh. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afasmina Tahora, and then Rabbi Yossi comes to add, no, even a boat made out of kli cheres is going to be tahor be midras, right? So he is adding something because according to Chananya, it is going to be tameh. So Rabbi Yossi has to say, no, it's not going to become tameh. Right? And so Rabbi Yossi was basically saying that he holds like our Tana, right? That he holds that the boat out of kli cheres is not going to become tame. Not like Chananya, who holds that a boat out of kli cheres can become tame. Matkiv for Rapapa challenges that understanding. My af. Right? Then what does the word af come to teach you? Right? Rabbi Yossi, it says that af, meaning even a sfina is tahor, meaning that something should have been established as tahor. And then Rabbi Yossi says, oh, and by the way, you know what else is tahor? Even the sfina. But the Tanakhama didn't establish anything as tahor, right? Right? He's not building on anything, right? The Tanakhama only talked about the things that were tame. So what does it mean that the Tanakhama would only talk about things that are tame? And then Rabbi Yossi would say, oh, af svina tahora, even a svina is tahor. It's not the right word then there if you don't understand the Tanakhama to have been mentioning that something else was tahor as well. Ela amar Rav Papa hachikamar. So this is how Rav Papa understands the way to teach the Mishnah, Midras Klicheres Tahor, right? The earthenware vessel that is stepped upon, that is that's still Tahor. Mago Tame, but if it's make direct contact with the Zav, let's say, then it does become Tame. Vishal Eitz. Now when it comes to a wooden Kli, Ben Midraso, Ben Magao, Tame, right? Whether it's through whether it's being stepped upon or being touched, right? Either way, that's going to be Tame, Visfinata Yardin Tahora. And when it comes to a boat on the Jordan River, that is going to be Tahor. Sfina Tayardin, says the Tanakama, that is Tahor. Ketana Tidan, right? And that hold, and they clearly hold, like our Tana, who holds the boat, even on the Yardin, is always Tahor. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ava Sfina Tamea. And then Rabbi Yossi says, no, even the Sfina is Tamei, right? So then, so Rabbi Yossi, the here the Af makes sense, right? Because, here the Af makes sense because they are adding on to the fact that we said that the wooden, vessels are Tamei. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, even the boat is Tamei. So they here the Af makes sense. Kechananya, and he just holds like Chananya, who holds that the boat here is considered Tamei. So you understand that Rabbi Yossi is holding like Chananya, Hishita is consistent. It has a source in the Tanaim, and it is and the Af makes sense because he's adding on to something that we already said. Meaning, if you want to say Af, then you have to say that there was something else that was. Meaning, you want to say also this is Tahor or also this is Tame. Then we had to have said something beforehand was Tame or Tahor, right? When you understood Rabbi Yossi as building on the Tanakama, the Rabbanon, then what's Af ze Tahor? The Rabbanon didn't include anything in the Tahara. In the first place. But if you understand that Rabbi Yossi is building off the fact that we said that wooden vessels are Tame, and then he comes to say, oh, even the boat is Tame itself, then we understand what the Af comes to do. It comes to add on to something, an additional thing that's Tame, and we do have a Shita for it, because that's Chanan Yeshita, that the boat itself is Tame also. Umidras Klicheres, Minalan de Tahor. How do you know that Klicheres is not going to contract Tuma through Midras? Amar Chizkiya da Amar Karav Ish Asher Yiga B'Mishkavo. Right, so Chizkiya says, well, you learn from the following pasuk, right, that a man when he touches his bed, right, Makish Mishkavo Lo. Right, why do you say a man touches his bed? A man touches a bed. What's his bed? Right, it's to show you some link between the man and the bed himself. Right, what's the link? What's the significant link there? Mahu Itle Tara B'Mikva Af Mishkavo Nami Itle Tara B'Mikva. Just like he, the Zav, can be metaher through a mikvah, so too anything that he would make impure has to have a tahara b'mikvah. Anything that the Zav can, the Pasuk wants to tell you, what does it mean? His bed? The bed is like him. Why is the bed like him? Just like he can become Tahor by going to the mikvah, so too the bed that he's touching has to be able to become Tahor in the mikvah. So any material that can become Tame in a mikvah is something that is that the Pasuk is talking about that he would make Tame. But any material that would not even become Tame in a, it would not become Tahor in a mikvah, then it's not included in the category that this, it's not even included in the category that the Pasuk was talking about. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Kemishka Avnidata, Yeh La. You can learn actually the same exact thing from another place, right? You can learn that from a nida, kemishkav nidata yela, right? The lying place of a nida is hers, right? Makish mishkava la. So you make similar hekish between the place that she's lying and her herself. Ma hi itla tahara b'mikva, af mishkava nami itla tahara b'mikva. Just like she has, she can become tame by going to the mikva, so to anything that she would touch that would become tame can become tame in a mikva. Lapukik lecheres to late tahara b'mikva. But because an earthenware vessel cannot become tahar in a mikvah, then it doesn't even meet the criteria of things that she would be mitame by touching them or by lying upon them. Right? That's how we learn that the only things that can become tame, the only couches that can become tame by a nida or by a zav, are the type of couches that are similar to them. That where if you put them in a mikvah, they will become tahar. So things that you cannot be mitahar in a mikvah, they don't enter the category at all, and they can't become tame. Matif Rabbi Ila. So Rabbi Ila challenged that, or asked the following question: Mapatz b'meit minayin. So how do we know that a mat can become kabal tuma through tumat mate by a corpse? V'dinu. Well, it really makes sense, right? Ma kapin ketanin jitorin bizav tamei b'meit. Right. So small containers can become tame through a zav. Small containers. That are tahor when they come in contact with the zav are tame when they come in contact with the maid. Mapatz shetame bezav enodin shetame b'maid. So a mat which become tame by a zav obviously should come tame with a maid, because we just saw earlier that there's that tumat maid is more machmir, because it would be metame the small jars, but a tumat zav would not be metame the small jars. Ve'amai. But why would the mat, now that we've established that the mat could become a tuma, why would that be the case? Right? Because the mat cannot be, the mat doesn't have a tahara b'mikvah. We said the only thing that can become tame by contact with the zav is those things that can be tahar in a mikvah. A mat, a reed mat is not put in a mikvah to be mitahir, in which case it shouldn't be in the category of things that can be mikabal tuma from a zav. Halei the tahara b'mikvah doesn't have a tahara in the mikvah. Amar lei Rav Chananya, shani hata, mahoy levi ika b'mino. Right? So Rav Chananya says that's different because it's this mat, even though it doesn't have tahara in the mikvah, other things made out of its type. What's its type? What's its mean? Wood. Okay, so wooden vessels have tahara in the mikvah, so it's not completely out of the world of the things that can be tahara in the mikvah. Only things that none of its type can be tahara in the mikvah, do we say, is not under that category. But something made of the exact same material would have tahara in the mikvah is under the category of things that have tahara in the mikvah, and therefore they're under the category of things that can be mitame by a zav based on the hekesh or the pasuk of a zav to his couch. Amar le, Rachmana lisle mahayad data. So Rabbi Ila said, may God save us from your opinion. He said this to Rabbi Chanina, because he believed that he was completely wrong, that it doesn't make any sense to include the mat in that category, just because other things made out of the same material would be kabbal tuma. Adarava, Rachman litzami datach didach. And then Rabbi Chanina says, no, the opposite is true. May God save us from your opinion, Rabbi Ila. My opinion makes perfect sense. V'tamamai. So what is Rabbi Chanina's opinion? How does Rabbi Chanina know that just because a mat, which is made out of wood, if other things are made out of wood, could be mitahir in a mikvah, then a mat, even though it's not mitahir in the mikvah, is still going to contract tuma from a zav, even though the general rule is a zav can only convey tuma to things that contract tuma in things that can be mitahir in the mikvah? Well, he learns it from the following. Trey Kray Ktivi, because they're two seemingly contradictory psukim. And if you know how to reconcile those two psukim, then you'll understand why my shita is correct. Ktivi ish asher yigav mishkavo, right? Because we learn the pasuk that a person who touches his couch, we connect him to the couch. Why does it say his couch? Just say a person who touches a couch. No, it's his couch because the couch is like him, just like he can be tahor in a mikvah. So to his couch needs to be tahor in a mikvah. And if the couch is not tahor in a mikvah, then it can't become a kamal tuba from him in the first place. Ktivi chol mishkav asher yishkav alav azav itameh. Right? But it also says that anything that a zav is going to lie upon, that's going to become tame. Literally anything a zav would lie upon, it's going to become tame. Wait, I thought only his couch becomes tame. What's anything now? Here, we have this hekesh by his couch, so him and only his couch, so only a couch that's like him, so only a couch that can be tahor in a mikvah. But the couch that could not be tahor in a mikvah would not contract tuma from the zav. But here it says that anything is going to lie upon is going to contract tuma. These psukim themselves are contradictory. How do you resolve the question between these two psukim? Well, this is how you resolve them. Hake it said yesh b'mino af al gav delet le tahor in a mikvah af b'mino makish mishkav lo. Right. So here's how you need to resolve. Did I read that properly? Yesh b'mino af al gav delet le tahor in a mikvah ein b'mino. Ein b'mino makish mishkav lo. Right. Basically, it's the same as follows. Right. The things that what do I learn from those two psukim? There are things that are going to be like the zav, or basically something that is in a category of things that are like the zav can be makabel tuma from the zav. But things that have nothing in their category that can be makabel tuma like the zav, like the earthenware, the things that are like the zav and have tahara in the mikvah, they're going to be mekabel tuma, right? And things that are not like the zav, that are not metahara in a mikvah, they're not going to be mekabel tuma. But then there's a category of things that are not like the zav because they don't have tahara in the mikvah, but they have things in their category which like made out of the same material that are going to be metahara in a mikvah. Those are the things that can attract tuma, and that's why I have both of these psukim, because the pasuk says his couch, so a couch that's like him. And the pasuk also says any couch. Why is it his couch and any couch? What do I learn from that? That some things are not going to be like him, but can still be mekabel tuma. But what are the things that are not like him, but are still mekabel tuma? Those are the things that are not like him because they don't have tahor in the mikvah, but they're made out of the same materials. The things that are like him that are metahor in the mikvah, like a wooden mat, because other wooden vessels do have tahor in the mikvah. That's how Rabbi Chanina understands that there's a special category of things that are not quite like the zav, but so close enough because they're made of the same material that are things like the zav, and that's going to be mekabel tuma. Rava Amar Midras Klicheres Tahor Mehacha. How do I know that the Rava says, I learned from a different place that kli cheres are not mitame b'midras. Where did I learn it from? V'chol kli patuach asher ein samid patil alav. Right, any open vessel that has no lid affixed to it. Ha'yish samid patil alav tahor. So if there was a lid affixed to it, then it's going to be tahor. Milo askinin diachidin hu le'ishter nida. Now, aren't we saying that this general rule that anything that that does not have a lid attached to it is going to be anything? That anything that does not have the rule is that anything that does not have a lid attached to it is going to be tahor. Anything that does have a lid attached to it is going to be tahor. Now, can I not include in that category something that was given to a woman who's a nida, a woman who's a nida? Can I not include in that category that would also be tahor? The Kamar Rahmana, tahor, and yet the Mishnah still said it was tahor. So, if a woman sits on something that does not have a top, it's still going to be tahor. Now, how is that a proof for that which we just said? Clearly, if we have this case where a nida sat on an earthenware vessel and it did not become and it did not contract tuma, then I can understand that that a kli cheres is not mekabel tuma be midras, right? So that's where he would learn. That's where Rava learns that a kli cheres is not contract tuma midras, because this case of where a nida sits on a kli made of cheres and doesn't convey tuma to it clearly teaches you that a kli cheres is not contract tuma through midras. We'll stop here.